Unit 2, The Study of English. Module 2, Pronunciation, Stress and Intonation. At the end of this module, you will A. Be aware of the elements involved in communicating with good pronunciation. B. Understand the importance of teaching pronunciation. C. Have some ideas on how to do this. Many teachers do not often involve their classes in formal spoken pronunciation practice, but are at pains to correct their students' pronunciation errors as and when they occur, and to give advice on stress and intonation. The matter of pronunciation rarely takes up a whole lesson because of its potentially repetitive nature. In fact, it is not unusual to see it restricted to a 5 or 10 minute portion in some lessons. It is a good policy to include it in response to the making of a common error. Some teachers do this at the end of a lesson. Others consider it as a useful tool for varying the pace of a lesson and schedule it as a secondary activity in the middle. Wherever they occur, pronunciation activities enable the students to concentrate on the same thing at the same time, thus bringing the whole group under the teacher's control. Although it may seem less important than the teaching of structures and vocabulary in terms of the limited time spent on it, pronunciation is an element essential to effective communication and is a subject with which all ESOL teachers are expected to be familiar. The elements of pronunciation. Pronunciation is understood to include A. Intonation, B. Stress on words and in sentences, C. Phonology, the sounds of the language. Not all textbooks agree that the concept of pronunciation should be taught in this order, although the sounds produced in individual words should come without too much difficulty if intonation and stress are focused upon within the structure of a sentence or phrase. Mastering pronunciation as a feature of English involves students in 3 main areas. Awareness exercises means listening to differences in intonation or differences between words. You can listen out for the mood of a speaker, or you can listen for differences in words. Bet, bit, bat. Independence exercises help students to learn things for themselves and include teaching them how to use a dictionary, the phonemic chart, and about patterns in words. Mouth exercises are when students say something themselves in order to practice the sounds physically, to practice moving their mouth into the right shape. You should integrate A, I, and M exercises into your work. Learners may still have bad pronunciation, even when they are quite advanced learners in terms of their good grammatical knowledge and wide vocabulary. Make learning fun so they are not shy. Aim to teach pronunciation. A little bit every day, every lesson. A. Intonation. Intonation is to do with how you say a word or phrase, rather than what you say. Speakers can change the pitch of their voice, making it higher or lower, as and when required. Thus, intonation is the music of speech, which can convey various feelings or attitudes, such as surprise, curiosity, boredom, politeness, abruptness, etc. It is important for the speaker to convey his appropriate feelings at the time, otherwise an incorrect impression might be gained by the listener, and confusion or offence might be caused. Intonation is also used for the more mundane job of showing whether a speaker has finished speaking or not. It is difficult to learn the rules of intonation, as English has a wide intonation range compared with other languages. Nevertheless, students should be encouraged to acquire them naturally rather than to consciously learn them. Now do self-check 2-2-1. Experiment by saying the following as described in the brackets. 1. Oh, it's you. Pleasant surprise? Lack of enthusiasm? Confusion. 2. Turn the radio on, please. Polite request. Repeated request. Signs of impatience. 3. He jogs 3 times every day. Does he? With surprise? Without surprise? With suspicion? 4. Write a sentence that could precede the word really, said with different intonation. Example. I'm getting married. Really? Happy surprise. A. Oh, really? Disbelief. B. Well, really? Shock. Annoyance. C. Really? Telling the truth. Now say the two-line conversations to yourself, listening for the different ways really is pronounced. When teaching English to students with little experience of the language, teachers should note that there are two basic intonation patterns. The rising tone, which is used in questions expecting a yes-no response, or to express surprise, disbelief, etc. The voice rises sharply on the stressed syllable. For example, the single word, really, expects a yes-no response, as does, did you see the Queen? Would you like a scone? The rising tone is also used mid-sentence to show that the speaker has not yet finished speaking. For example, in listing, I bought potatoes, mangoes, and carrots. The falling tone is used for statements, commands, and for WH questions. The voice rises sharply earlier in the sentence and then falls on the key word being stressed. For example, how's your brother? Stand back. 2 returns to Bristol, please. As we said above, it is also used for indicating when a speaker is finishing what he, she has to say. In repetition activities, there are 2 main techniques of demonstrating falling and rising tones. The first is by gesture, using arm and hand movements. The teacher taking care that the student will observe each movement, starting on the left and finishing on the right. The second is simply by drawing arrows on the blackboard after the sentence or phrase. Stress. Stress refers to the emphasis we place on the syllable of a word, word stress, or on a word or words within a sentence, sentence stress. It presents great difficulty for the foreign learner of English. Unlike a language such as Spanish, there are no easy rules in governing where the stress falls on a word. We have all made mistakes ourselves when pronouncing a word we have not seen or heard before. A native speaker can only work from experience with similar words, but is not always guided towards correct pronunciation. Sentence stress. If we take the average sentence or utterance in English, we will find stressed and unstressed words. The speaker will demonstrate the words that are of most importance to the listener by stressing them more, i.e., by making them more audible. For example, in the sentence, I've lost my wallet. The words which are of most importance are lost and wallet, and they will therefore be stressed. It also helps to remember that new information is stressed in a sentence. Shared information is not. Look at this sentence. Mary's given birth to a girl. The sex of the new baby is the new information. The fact that the baby is Mary's is already shared by both speakers and is not stressed. However, Mary's given birth to a girl. In this case, the birth of a girl baby is known about already, but some wrong information has been given, and the speaker is correcting, giving new information that the baby, in fact, belongs to Mary, not anyone else. English makes ample use of stress in order to point to a context. You can ask the same question, but can place the stress on different words depending on which fact you would like to have confirmed or denied. E.g., is Bernard going to France in July? Stress on Bernard. No, Zoe is. Is Bernard going to France in July? Stress on France. No, he's going to Belgium. Is Bernard going to France in July? Stress on July. No, he's going in August. There are various ways of marking where the stress falls in a sentence or a word. Some ESOL teachers draw small squares above the place where the stress falls. For written exercises, you should mark the stress syllable in bold or underline where the stress falls. Now do self-check 2-2-2. Indicate what part of the sentence in each question should be stressed to elicit each of the answers. Write the letter of the answer above the word you would stress in the question. Are you going to the disco tonight? A. No, I'm going tomorrow. B. No, I'm going to the cinema. C. No, my friend is though. D. I most certainly am. As already stated, in English we place stress on the most important parts of the sentence or message we wish to be conveyed. The unstressed part of the sentence is far more difficult to catch, so the foreign learner has to train his ear to pick up the less important part of the message so he, she, can fully understand what is being said. English is often referred to as a stress-timed language. This means that the length of time between the stressed syllables is always about the same. The greater the number of unstressed syllables between those that are stressed, the quicker the unstressed syllables are uttered. E.g., he gave a speech. He gave a short speech. He gave a very short speech. In each sentence, the unstressed syllables a short, a very short, took about the same amount of time to say, so a very short had to be said more quickly. However, there are times when normally unstressed words are stressed for obvious reasons. E.g., Bill and George are coming to the party, stressing that George is to be included in the party guest list. And lots of other small word forms, listed below, are habitually unstressed within the structure of a sentence unless used in isolation. Unstressed words in speech do not always retain their original pronunciation. Vowels change into different forms. See the next section. Consonant clusters get pushed together and even left out without us losing the meaning of the word. Read these two sentences aloud and listen to the change in the words last chance, which contain three consonant sounds in the middle, s, t, and ch. In the second sentence, they are not pronounced clearly and separately because the words are not stressed. John, your last chance to hand in your work is tomorrow. But your last chance, Peter, was yesterday. Weak forms. Prepositions: at, to, of, for, from. Auxiliary and modal verbs: be, been, am, is, are, was, were, have, has, had, do, does, shall, should, will, would, can, could, must. Pronouns: me, he, him, his, she, we, us, you, your, them. Others: who, that, as a relative pronoun, a, an, the, some, and, but, as, than, there, not. The sound produced in the weak form is called schwa and is represented by the phonemic symbol as seen on the phonemic script chart at the end of this unit, like a back-to-front upside-down E. The sound is the one that needs the minimum effort from your mouth, a sort of small grunt. Full vowels would take too much effort and time to say in connected speech and slow it down, so the schwa is the default sound to help the speaker progress at speed. Practice these examples. The weak forms are underlined. Take a look at it. It's for you. I was here yesterday. We must go. Stress timing is a noticeable characteristic of the spoken language. By getting used to hearing English spoken with a natural rhythm in class, students will find it easier to understand real English beyond the confines of the classroom. It will take some time, however, for the students themselves to produce this sort of language, so they need a lot of time and every encouragement in this endeavour. If you have a tape recorder or other means of recording your own voice, then try reading a short paragraph from any piece of writing, fiction or non-fiction, and listen to how you, a lead, slip together words as you are reading at normal speed. If English is not your first language, and you might read slowly and carefully, then you can also listen to yourself reading in your own language. All languages have a rhythm. Sounds of the language, phonology. It is important when teaching students new vocabulary to indicate where the stress falls. With the majority, there is no argument, e.g. program, completely, lesson, intention. Remember, the stressed syllable is longer and more audible. With other words, there is disagreement on pronunciation, sometimes depending on your origins, e.g. harass and harass, American origin. Advertisement and advertisement, localized northern pronunciation. Carlisle and Carlisle, local pronunciation. At other times, it is essential to differentiate, e.g. invalid, noun, incapacitated person. Invalid, adjective, cannot be accepted. Unstressed syllables are often pronounced as schwa, see chart, regardless of spelling. It is the vowel sound many British people make when hesitating in speech, spelt as or er. Here are some examples. Occupations: teacher, driver, doctor, sailor. Comparatives: longer, bigger, better. Beginning with a: ago, about, along. Ending in ory, ery. Factory, library. Ending ian, ian. Nation, Egyptian. Ending man, woman. Days, Sunday, etc. Plurals: horses, matches, etc. Third person endings: washes, etc. Superlatives: shortest, fastest, etc. Ending adj, edge. Luggage, language, college. Beginning be, re. Begin, reply. Vowels and consonants. All sounds, whether they are made by a vowel or a consonant, are represented by a phonemic symbol, see chart, to enable the native as well as the foreign speaker to pronounce words correctly. The same letters or combination of letters can make a different sound, e.g. a word such as the is pronounced differently according to whether a vowel or a consonant follows. Compare the pronunciation of the before book with the before apple. In English, there are variations of the pronunciation of the same vowels, e.g. contrast, hat, hard, bed, beer, bid, bird, dog, do, ford, cut, cute, could. As you can see from this, different letters can be pronounced in an identical way. Note the case of do and cute. There are two types of vowel in English. Those represented by the phonemic symbols above are monophthongs, meaning that the vowel sound consists of one phoneme. A phoneme is the smallest unit of speech. There are also diphthongs, which are often recognised by two vowels together, but not always. Beer contains a diphthong, where you experience a gradual change in lip and tongue position during the making of the sound. Bay is another example. It is monosyllabic, but has two phonemes. In all, there are 20 vowel sounds and 24 consonant sounds compared with, for example, Japanese and Spanish, that have only 5 vowel sounds. Now do self-check 2, 2, 3. Assign each of the following words to the phonemic symbol that represents the vowel sound using the chart below. Horn, foot, seat. Word, lard, mud. Rod, sit, rude. Fed, mad. Dictionaries, both monolingual and good bilingual, clearly mark both stress and pronunciation on words. You should use one to check anything you are not sure of, and should work with your students to make sure they A. have a dictionary, B. know how to use it effectively. Now do self-check 2, 2, 4. This is teacher practice for you. Go to a dictionary, book or online and find out how to pronounce these words and what they mean if you are not sure. Write down the phonemic script and word stress indicators that you find. Being a pronunciation teacher. As a teacher, you should know the phonemic chart, have it on the wall of the classroom, and know how to use it when you use the dictionary. You can find the phonemic chart at the front or the back of any good English dictionary. Have a standard technique for marking the word stress of new words on your board work. Potato and postcard. Be aware of what a schwa sound is. This will help your students to imitate natural speech. Be able to talk about accent and variation. Use TV programs they know or coursebook materials. Think carefully every lesson about when and how you are going to spend a little time on the sounds of English. Remember, A-I-M. Here are some top tips on how you can include sound work in your lessons. Use the phonemic symbols next to new words on the board. If you do not know them, then start now. Mark the stress of all new words on the board and in handouts. Potato. Use clapping and rhythmic tapping to show sentence stress and make all the students say the sentence in time with you. This gives the sentence the correct rhythm. Have students practice saying short phrases, perhaps from a coursebook dialogue, in different ways, e.g. Can I help you? Smiling, bored, angry, or nervous. And discuss how the intonation changes. Have students do speak and write activities with word cards in pairs and groups. Dictate short phrases to students at normal speed and have them write them down in order to show them how elision and rhythm work. Use simple poetry to highlight rhythm and stress. It is also fun. Make pronunciation a game. Exaggerate the pronunciation of new words and phrases and have students do the same so that they are no longer embarrassed. Use the dictionary to find out how things are pronounced. You can turn this into a research and pronounce game in teams. Introduce new words in groups, Asian words, for example, and highlight and practice the common word stress pattern and pronunciation. Now do self-check 2, 2, 5. Which of the above activities are awareness activities, independence activities, or mouth activities? Using dialogues. Many course books have dialogues, so make sure you use them. Before the lesson starts, see if there is a good intonation pattern on one phrase in the dialogue. Choose a few phrases that you would like them to say well. Can the students copy them? make sure that you have a good model for the dialogues you present. Most course books have a recording to listen to, so use it. Do not have the students reading the dialogue aloud before they hear it. If you set up information gap activities, where students have to give each other information such as directions to a place on a map or information about opening times of a museum, make sure that they are trying to speak clearly and checking if their listener has understood. Encourage students to say things like, "I'm sorry, I didn't catch that," and repeat the instructions back to whoever gave them. Not revert to Arabic. These are communication strategies and are very important. Add a pronunciation corner to your lesson plan aims and you will soon see the difference in your classes. Try these self-check exercises. Now do self-check 2-2-6. Here is a dialogue from a course book for students to practice the present perfect tense. Read the dialogue and then decide what useful expressions could be practiced for intonation or pronunciation. Jane: "Hi, Jackie." Jackie: "Hi, Jane. What's new?" Jane: "Have you heard? Sue has won the lottery." Jackie: "Really? How amazing! I hadn't heard. How much money has she won?" Jane: £50,000. Jackie: £50,000? Oh, why haven't I done the lottery this year? Jane: "Buy a ticket next week." Jackie: "I suppose I could. But now she's won, what is she going to do?" Jane: "She's going to go round the world for a year." Jackie: "Quick, let's ask her to take us with her." Self-check 2-2-7. Look at this transcript of a class activity. Repeat after me is something that teachers often do. In this part of the class, the students are practicing parts of the body. What words are causing trouble, and what sounds could the teacher practice further? Teacher: "Okay, class. Now I will point to a part of the body, and you point to the same part in your body, and tell me the name." Class says, "Here," meaning hair. Class says, "Eyes," meaning eyes. Class says, "Ears," meaning ears. Class says, "Mouse," meaning mouth. Class says, "Tease," meaning teeth. Class says, "Nose," meaning nose. What words are causing trouble, and what sounds could the teacher focus on? Self-check comments appear on the next page. Comments: "Sue has won the lottery." "Really?" and "How amazing!" could be used to practice surprised and exaggerated intonation. "I suppose I could" can be said in a number of ways to show doubt or enthusiasm, etc., and could make a good focus for this lesson. "She's going to go round the world for a year" could be a sentence rhythm clapping practice and also vowel sound practice, as it has a variety of sounds: go, round, world, for, year. Self-check comment: "Only two of the words are actually pronounced correctly. Th is a good sound to practice, as both the mouth words use it, and it is easy to demonstrate when we are talking about teeth. The teacher might like to make a connection between ear and hear. We hear with our ears. We don't hear with our hair. Our hair sticks up in the air," and so on. The teacher should help the students get these words right now, and not let them continue to say them wrongly.